Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sunup. The Daily Sunup podcast is a conversation with the Colorado Sun. See our trust indicators at coloradosun.com/ethics. It's Thursday, July 11th. Today, reporters John Ingold and Michael Booth talk about the Colorado Front Range's ozone troubles, as well as what to know about a human case of plague in Colorado. Before we begin, this summer, go wild for Front Range air quality. Turn your engine off when you're parked to reduce harmful ground-level ozone. Sign up for ozone alerts to know when it matters most. Learn more at simplestepsbetterair.org. Do you want to help the world and your wallet? From now until August 30th, when you open a new First Bank checking account, you'll help save bees, conserve water, and plant trees. Open a First Bank checking account today. Learn more by visiting efirstbank.com/green. First Bank. Banking for good. Member FDIC. Certain restrictions and requirements apply. See any First Bank branch for details. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1869, the U.S. Army surprised the Cheyenne camp at Summit Springs in eastern Colorado, marking the last major conflict between Native Americans and the Army in the area. The 1867 Medicine Lodge Treaty required Cheyennes to move to Oklahoma reservations, but the Dog Soldiers resisted. Led by Tall Bull, they headed north to hunt with 100 men of fighting age and two kidnapped settlers from Kansas. Major Carr's cavalry, with Pawnee scouts and the future Buffalo Bill Cody, pursued them. Carr surprised the Cheyennes, killing 52 and capturing 17. The battle, during which Tall Bull died, one captive was killed and another was rescued, ended Native dominance in eastern Colorado. Buffalo Bill Cody later embellished and dramatized the battle in his Wild West shows. Before we continue, this summer, don't miss Colorado's top art festivals, presented by Howard Allen Events. Visit the Downtown Aspen Art Festival, July 19th to 21st, for national and local talent. Head to Keystone's River Run Village, July 26th to 28th, for unique art pieces. Finally, enjoy fabulous art in an exquisite resort setting on the 36th Annual Beaver Creek Art Festival, August 2nd to 4th. Admission is free at all three festivals. Learn more at artfestival.com. Whether you're buying a new home, taking a loan to purchase your first car, or putting money away for a rainy day, banking doesn't need to be complicated. Above all else, Alpine Bank wants you to achieve your dreams. It's that simple. For 50 years, their focus has been on you. And for the next 50 and beyond, that won't change, because a better tomorrow for their customers starts with helping dreams come true today. Learn more about Alpine Bank and its services at alpinebank.com, or stop in and see them. Next, our feature story.
Hey, everyone. Happy Thursday. And I'm John Ingold. I'm with the Colorado Sun. And I cover healthcare for us. And joining us, as always, is my colleague, Michael Booth, who writes about climate and the environment. Two, no pun intended, but very hot topics.
Hey, John, hope you have a big gulp of iced tea sitting next to you for the podcast.
So before we get started, and Mike's going to have some climate-related news as it relates to the heat wave here, but I want to do two plugs real quickly. I know you've probably heard them enough already, but we'll give another pitch for them. One is for Mike's event that ran this past week on climate change and how it's hurting your homeowners insurance premiums and your auto insurance premiums and the economic impacts that it's having in Colorado. So that was a great event, virtual. And you can go watch it on our YouTube page. If you just Google Colorado Sun YouTube, that'll bring it right up. The second thing is Sunfest. I know Mike and I are both working on some really exciting panels and some really exciting events to have there that I think anybody who's motivated enough to listen to this podcast every day will certainly find something that to geek out on at Sunfest. So that is on September 27th, and you can get tickets right now at coloradosun.com/sunfest. So, hey, Mike.
How's it going, John?
Good. Just a little sweaty. So you wrote this week in our newsletter, which is called The Temperature, you wrote about ozone alerts and just the tidal wave of them that are coming our way. So what did you find out?
We call it Ozone Week for The Temperature edition this week because there's just a lot going on both with the weather and, I guess, slightly on the sunnier side of the question with ozone and air pollution. There are some people trying to do some new things about it. But most on people's minds, if they are signed up for these ozone alerts that we are getting heavily this week as it approaches 100 and threatens to go even above 100 by the time we get to this weekend, is that Colorado's ozone problem gets worse and worse with every ticking up of that thermometer. So if we hit 100, that likely means that these volatile organic chemicals and compounds and the emissions that come from oil and gas production in Weld County and other parts of northeastern Colorado and all the driving that we do and all those pollutants get cooked up under that hot sun into toxic ozone that is bad for everybody's respiratory systems. We've already had 20 ozone alerts this summer in June and July. There have been 5 already in July as things have really heated up beyond normal temperatures. And so we want people to make sure that they are following those and be aware of those. You can sign up through the State Health Department to get those alerts on your smartphone and know that if you have respiratory issues in particular, if you have children or elderly who have any kind of problems with asthma or respiratory or heart problems, then a high ozone day at 2 in the afternoon is exactly the wrong time to be doing much exercising or even to be outside at all if you have a special problem. So we encourage people to keep track of those. We are spiking these limits and going way beyond, as we reported today, the EPA regulations on ozone. We have kept falling into worse and worse categories. Colorado keeps getting relegated in the game of air pollution to lower and lower categories. We're currently in severe violation of the EPA's ozone limits. And if we have these continuing violations over the next couple of years, as we've already started this summer, we will get put into the extreme category. And that means more sanctions from the EPA about what we can do, what we need to do about our driving, what we need to do about permitting air pollution from industry. And so we really would rather not go there, but we're headed there. And it's not gotten better in the last couple of years. In fact, in some ways, it's gotten worse.
And just a reminder for folks out there, why is it that the Denver specifically or the Denver metro area has a big problem with ozone?
EPA calls it a non-attainment area. We've got 9 counties in the northern Front Range, starting up in Larimer, going all the way down to Douglas County. And what happens with our geography and our industry is that we get this pool of ozone-causing pollution, and it gets trapped between the first foothills and mountains and the valley that South Platte runs along, that I-25 runs along, and just sticks there. And then it gets cooked in the hot air as the afternoon goes on. And that creates ground-level ozone, which is different from stratospheric ozone, which is actually a good thing. It protects us from sun rays on the ground level. It is very damaging to people's lungs. So that's why we have the particular problem in our part of Colorado. And it's very difficult for us to bring those ozone levels down to get under the EPA limits. One thing that I would say is encouraging this week is that the federal officials, who are really good at researching these problems and have the monitors and the equipment to do it, are already, as we speak, over our heads on a new blitz to go find out what's going on to cause our ozone problems, where our worst greenhouse gas leaks and production is. They are flying airplanes through the clouds of pollutants. They are flying above the clouds of pollutants and looking down at plumes of methane that come from oil and gas production. They are using NASA satellites that can look down with infrared and other instruments and see all kinds of things that can't be seen on the ground. And the state is helping out with a lot of ground-based monitors in vans and trucks and the stationary monitors. And they're going to layer all these things together over the next couple of weeks and then head out to Salt Lake City and other places around the country that have similar, if not quite as bad, ozone problems as us. And they're going to come back to state officials over the next few months with this enormous amount of data and with, if all goes well, have some policy recommendations to make and to pinpoint the targets that they should go after at the state level and at the local level to try to get rid of ozone precursors and keep us from continuing to spike over those limits in coming years.
So you had in a more immediate sense, you had mentioned some regulations and some sanctions that potentially could be coming our way if we can't get this ozone problem under control. What are those?
One thing that we've been talking about a bit is reformulated gasoline. So we're already doing that. That was a requirement because of our past ozone violations. Starting on June 1st, the EPA said that all Front Range gasoline stations have to sell something called reformulated gasoline that burns more cleanly and doesn't evaporate as easily into ozone-causing emissions. And the worry was it was going to cost a lot more. It's only cost a couple of pennies more so far. Really hard to detect against other factors in people's oil and gas prices. And so that program seems to be going well. The problem is, even if it is successful, only makes a very, very minor dent in the overall ozone problem. So more of those things could happen in the future. EPA is watching carefully, and we've got a couple of years to try to get back on top of it. So some good and some bad and some encouraging, but also some warning signs in our ozone news this week. Have to admit, John, it was not the snappiest, most fun temperature content this week in terms of just brightening up people's lives. We had a lot of serious topics to talk about. And one thing that you've been researching is some new warnings about some old diseases. But you were trying to put it in perspective how much we should be worried about it. So what is the one that we're talking about this week that we didn't have to worry about a month ago, but is a regular visitor to the Front Range? And what should people know?
Yeah, so believe it or not, we're talking about the plague, talking about plague cases. This, you've probably seen it in the last week or two. There was a human case of plague identified in Colorado in Pueblo County. This actually stirred up quite a bit of local media attention, but also international media attention. I saw a paper in the UK that mentioned that there was a case of a deadly medieval disease that resurfaced in Colorado. And so here's the truth about plague in Colorado is that it actually never went away. We have cases that pop up every now and then. We have animals, especially rodents, that will test positive. Plague, as a reminder here, it's a bacterial disease. That bacteria can be spread by the bites of infected fleas or by handling these infected animals, which is why it's a good idea to wear bug spray when you're outside to make sure that your pets have their flea protection in line, to not go up and go try to hug prairie dogs just in case they might be infected with plague. And it's also, it ends up being a very treatable disease right now as long as it's caught early. Antibiotics are the name of the game there, and they can be quite successful. So we looked into some data. We got some data from the state health department, and there have been 18 cases of plague in Colorado. These are human cases of plague. Since 2013. And of those, four deaths. So not great, not a happy story, but something that kind of puts into perspective that this is not an uncommon thing that we would, especially in summer, see a case of plague pop up. That's when the animals that might catch it and the bugs that might spread it are most active, and something that's treatable as long as it's caught early.
You went pretty deep into the album tracks of some other diseases that are occasionally popping up in Colorado. Am I pronouncing it right if I say tularemia?
That's it. Yep.
So yeah. What so worry about or not worry about there?
Yeah. It was like in the last 2 weeks, suddenly my email inbox was just filled with notices of human cases of all these very strange diseases that aren't particularly common, but are common enough to be just a little bit watchful for. And tularemia is one of those. So another bacterial disease, very rarely fatal. There's been one fatality in Colorado since 2013. But it can be spread in all sorts of ways, through contact with infected rodents or rabbits, through ticks, through contact with contaminated water, food, air. So that one, you really just want to make sure you're practicing good, safe hygiene. Again, like being safe around wild animals, being safe and not drinking untreated water. Make sure you're cooking your food all the way through in terms of meat. the Jefferson County Public Health Department had this helpful tip of don't mow over dead animals, which was never even something that would occur to me. And it seems pretty gross, but, you know, I guess is probably a good health prevention measure. And again, it's just another one that ends up being more prominent in summer. That also includes West Nile, which is actually the big one that we should want to talk about here. West Nile is a virus spread by the bite of a mosquito, and it can be quite fatal. And Colorado has had a number of West Nile cases in recent years. And by a number, I mean like hundreds and thousands of West Nile cases in recent years. Last year was the worst year. Colorado had the worst West Nile season in the country with over 220 deaths and more than 1,600 hospitalizations. Even if West Nile doesn't kill you, it can cause, it would be called a neuroinvasive case. It can cause really long-term physical damage to, on motor skills and all sorts of things. So again, just being really safe, not giving areas around your house for mosquito breeding grounds. So emptying out kiddie pools, bird baths, places of standing water. If you have tires, make sure those tires are drained. It means wearing bug spray with DEET in it. It means being especially cautious if you're going to go into an area that has a cattail marsh or some sort of kind of boggy area. As we've reported before, West Nile is spread in Colorado by subspecies of mosquitoes that are Culex mosquitoes. And they particularly love these cattail marsh areas. So just being especially careful if you're going there.
We see more and more people adopting what Minnesota Midwestern hikers have been doing for quite a while. People in Maine, Massachusetts, who are worried about ticks. There is a spray on. Some people don't like DEET and don't like the feel of it that much.
Yeah.
They might need to get over that if they're worried about West Nile. But there's a substance called permethrin that is often in a bright yellow warning container. But you can spray it on your lower pant legs, on your socks, on your favorite hiking shoes, and it actually lasts a couple of washing cycles for your clothing. Keeps off ticks, keeps off ankle-biting mosquitoes, other bugs, and can really go a long way toward solving at least a couple of problems.
Well, and, you know, obviously long pants, long sleeves as well. And I think you really hit it on the head in the newsletter this week when you pointed out the way that climate change can exacerbate some of these issues. So if I'm going for a hike and it's 100 degrees outside, first of all, maybe don't go for a hike when it's 100 degrees outside. But if you are outside and it's 100 degrees outside, wearing long pants and long sleeves does not sound like the most fun thing to do. So you kind of get this feedback loop where potentially the way you dress is leaving you more exposed to catching disease, and the warmer summers are leading to longer seasons where the bugs and the germs can sort of spread around, and it could actually end up enhancing these diseases.
Yeah, to close the loop on that, if you're seeing ozone alerts in April, as we actually did this year, and we wrote about that some today, that means that it's getting warm enough in some of those used to be cold spring months to promote more insect growth and insect spreading in places that you wouldn't have had to worry about it in April before, maybe going into September, early October. Just as wildfire season has spread, that means the bug season and the bug vector for disease is in a broader number of months that we have to worry about. So we try to make those connections for people with both climate change and health and the weather. And it's definitely a week to be thinking about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, John. Appreciate your, as always, your research into science and the personal issues involved in health and climate. And we appreciate all of you listening in this week. And if you have not subscribed to The Temperature yet, we encourage you to. You see a lot of this information first if you're a subscriber to The Temperature, and then we try to expand on it often at coloradosun.com. So thanks, everybody, for your time. And as John mentioned, please sign up for SunFest coming up in the fall. As we continue to add more and more great speakers, we think you'll want to be there. Thanks, everybody.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado's senior senator believes Joe Biden will lose in a landslide to Donald Trump, but stopped short of asking the president to step aside. Senator Michael Bennett told his Democratic colleagues this week that he doesn't see a path for Biden to win. Bennett, who ran for president in 2020, said top Democrats need to have a discussion because since what he called the disastrous debate, the White House has done nothing to show they have a plan to beat Trump. Bennett fears Democrats could lose the House and Senate, too. Colorado's first Firehawk helicopter is ready to help fight wildfires, but that doesn't mean it will be going out to the next fire that breaks out. 3 years ago, lawmakers allocated $30 million to purchase the modified military helicopter capable of quickly crisscrossing Colorado to detect and douse flames. The director of Colorado's Division of Fire Prevention and Control said highly specialized training for four primary pilots is complete, but whether the Firehawk is called to the next wildfire depends on what other aircraft resources are available nearest to the flames. Starting today, young people up to age 18 who are accused of municipal violations in Denver can receive free legal representation from a public defender. That representation comes from a law unanimously passed by the city council in December. Before the law changed, kids in Denver who were ticketed and charged in municipal court with alleged crimes such as alcohol possession, theft, and minor assault were not offered free legal representation and could not receive courtroom advice from judges or city attorneys. Denver is the only Colorado county allowing public defenders to represent kids charged with municipal violations. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again next time. Now, a quick message from our team.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Jason Blevins. I'm the outdoors writer here at the Colorado Sun, co-founder of the Colorado Sun. I'm on the weekly podcast with David Krause every Monday. And I also write a weekly newsletter. Comes out every Thursday. It's called The Outsider. Take a look at each issue has sort of early glimpses of stories. I got stuff on housing, high country business, high country culture, public lands, public land managers, kind of just about anything kind of interesting and happening on the Western Slope. Try to get into it. Ski industry stuff. I invite you to come check it out. It's one of the many newsletters we have at the Colorado Sun. Head to coloradosun.com/join and become a member and support the Colorado Sun. Appreciate you guys listening. Thanks.